And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conan. How are you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
We're going to be talking to Maria Victor of the, she's a sociologist, University York University, emeritus, and she is an authority on matters to do with Venezuela. She's Venezuelan-born and, of course, has visited there very often and has been following events. We'll be talking to her about this, these latest demonstrations and how they've been handled, how they've been reported. And we're very excited to say that at 5:30 today, we will be talking to Portia Karagea. She is the daughter of the assassinated Rwandan leader who was living in exile and an opponent of President Paul Kagame, and who had made serious accusations about the regime of Rwanda. You might remember that there was this macabre moment when President Kagame seemed to be admitting that they had assassinated, or he said, if we didn't do it, we should have, or some such thing. And his cabinet members then competed with him in bizarre, sadistic remarks about the deceased and his family. So there was a memorial meeting in Washington yesterday, I understand. We'll be asking Portia Karagea about that. And, of course, Phil and I will be in other matters. We probably have something to say about the Ukraine, developments in Ukraine. I could tell you this, that a guest on our show some time back, Mr. Dobbin, who writes for It's Tai, I believe, has a wonderful, thoughtful, what I would call Canadian article today on this matter in Ukraine. Very thoughtful. It's Murray Dobbin, I believe. And we're joined now, I believe, by Professor Maria Victor. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, and thank you very much for talking to us. This is very important to our listeners to know. From someone such as yourself, you traveled, you're from Venezuela originally, but you, of course, have made it part of your studies, I believe, and you've certainly traveled there and
yes.
And are following events. Everyone's very concerned to know these demonstrations that have attracted so much attention. It's being portrayed as people who are demanding, complaining of food shortages. This seems to be the picture that they're painting, at least in Western media. What's your view of where these demonstrations originated, and what is this actually about?
Well, what we have been witnessing is a highly organized attack against the democratic government of Venezuela. Now, these demonstrations are supposedly are presented in the media as if it's all over the country. They have been small focuses. And the most interesting thing is that where the demonstrations have taken part are in the rich parts of town, mm-hmm. because it is the elite, the wealthy elite, that is behind these protests. The protesters, we know, are paid protesters. Why? Because of the telephone conversations that we know that have occurred between the American embassy and certain people. So they are being given 3,000 bolivares a day. And on top of that, there are professional saboteurs. These are, paramilitary people. Now, where have you ever heard of supposed students? Because they all come out and they say that they're students. Mm-hmm. What student demonstrations have you ever heard where the people are wearing armor, where they have guns, mm-hmm. both handguns and rifles, and this is what these people have done. They mm-hmm. are not a peaceful demonstration. There have mm-hmm. been peaceful demonstrations in Venezuela since 15 years ago. These mm-hmm. people are armed, mm-hmm. and they have occasioned the death of 22 people. Now, mm-hmm. this is the interesting thing is that we are used to here thinking, oh, students demonstrating the Occupy, mm-hmm. you know, people,
yes. as if
they are the ones presenting a democratic phase. The only people who are democratic here is the government. Mm-hmm. The people who have given so much food to the country. It is so funny that they are going around saying that there's food scarcity when the United Nations has recognized Venezuela is one of the countries that has most done for food security. It is a country that has practically eliminated malnutrition. The country used to be malnourished. 40% of the people used to be malnourished. Now it is down to the last thing I heard about, I think, was child nutrition. Malnutrition has practically disappeared. It's 2%, and for the regular people, it has been 5%. So this is ridiculous. There's a whole distribution of publicly subsidized food stores in the country. The FAO, that's the World Food and Agriculture Organization, has said that Venezuela is one of the four Latin American countries with less hunger. That's less than 5%. Why aren't there riots in Colombia where hunger is at almost 13%? So these riots have nothing to do with need. These people are rich. You know, somebody said, a very good journalist from Colombia said that Venezuela is the only country where the rich are protesting and the poor are happy.
Yeah. It is a rare situation. By the way, what about the analogy? Because it occurred to me, I noticed that they use this expression, they're banging pots and all that. But in South America, I associate that with the people who brought Pinochet to Chile.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because the demonstrations against Allende were people banging pans.
Yes. And of course, the right wing, because look, we're talking about a right wing group. We're talking about a group that is highly undemocratic, that has used violence over and over again. We're talking about supposed students, and yet where are the student leaders? The leader of all of these riots is a man who is no student, who has been the leader of the coup in 2002, who is the leader of a political party, which, by the way, is minuscule. Within the opposition, there are several parties. His is the smallest. And yet, what do they want? When the Quebec students came out to the streets to protest in Quebec, they wanted lower tuition. They were really furious about things that they wanted, a better education. Here, not one single student federation or student organization has backed these protests. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about students is that the students, Venezuela is one of the countries that has the fifth country in the world with the most university students. And yet there was not one student march to demand the free tuition that there is from daycare to university. Not one to demand free university tuition. It was all provided by the government. Mm-hmm. And so these students are, what are they asking for? Mm-hmm. What are their slogans when they shout? They shout, death to Maduro. That's death to the president. What are they shouting? Get rid of the government now. I ask you, what would happen in Canada if a group of armed people went and stopped the traffic at Bloor and Yonge and demanded the death of the prime minister or the premier and the overthrow of the government? I mean,
yes.
I
don't think anybody would come from the U.S. Embassy to support them.
Oh, no.
Not at Bloor and Yonge.
No. And not only that, you think, what does this have to do? How can any group ask for the demise of a government that just won two elections this year? The last one on the 8th of December, they won by a million votes. Now, the other thing that I think is really important for people to know is it's not as if the opposition didn't have a voice and a vote. The opposition has 40% of the seats in parliament. 40% of the parliamentary seats were won by them. The opposition has three governance, provinces, three states that their governors are opposition. And then they have a whole host of mayoralties, because there are about 335 mayoralties, and the government won about 220. The government won 80% of them. So that means there's 20% of mayors that are on the opposition. So these people have voice and vote. But, of course, what has happened is that there's a division amongst the opposition. There are those who are genuinely, Democratic opposition members. They're a small group, unfortunately. There's the other group, which are the ones that get more, publicity, which are the ones that are intent on the overthrow of the government. They, unfortunately, are back to the hilt by the United States. Just from January, the opposition received $5 million for these protests. Last year, which was an election year, they got $30 million. The year before, they got $57 million. How do we know this? Well, WikiLeaks, thank goodness for Mr. Snowden, that we know all of these numbers. So how would Canada react if, say, well, let's say the NDP was receiving millions of dollars from, I don't know, China, Russia,
Colombia, Venezuela.
What would Canadians do? Now, of course, they received this illegally because the law says that this is not correct, right? But this money is flowing into Venezuela. In the latest WikiLeaks that occurred, there was this communication between the U.S. Embassy in Caracas and the State Department, in which it listed the 30 bogus NGOs and political parties to which they have given all the money to. So there's a name to their organization. I just saw a video today of some of the protests, and you see that they are in Altamira, these zones that are very, very rich. And then you see the video going to the other areas, you know, the normal areas where the other people who are not of the elite live, and life is going on like every day. Then the other thing is, what did these people do? They put wires. There's one young man who went by and he got his head cut off. I mean, there are 22 people who are dead.
By the way, I understand a student from Chile who was studying in Venezuela was in some community where they were cleaning up after there had been this riotous activity, and she was shot dead.
She was shot dead. I know. Yeah. It is so terrible. It is so absolutely terrible. And the thing that that people don't quite know is that for 15 years, the democratic government of Venezuela has not had one day where it hadn't had to fight, you know, the power of this wealthy elite. And, of course, if they did anything to them, let's say took away their, I don't know, their money or put them in jail, whatever, you can imagine the world would say
the outcry,
even more.
Of course. And by the way, I mean, we have to, you mentioned this, the United States, the U.S. Congress has, of course, provided all these funds, always in the name of extension of democracy, et cetera. However, they never allow a nickel to be introduced into American politics without somebody being arrested. I remember Al Gore had to explain for months how he didn't have anything to do with a banker who happened to be a Chinese American, and it was as though he was an agent of Beijing. You get arrested very quick in the U.S. for this such behavior.
Because there seems to be one rule for the United States, and certainly another rule for the little brown people who live in Latin America, who are supposedly to keep quiet and obey their masters because they're the backyard of the United States, but not anymore. In the Organization of American States, yesterday, they passed a resolution backing absolutely the government of President Maduro and rejecting any kind of foreign interference. And the vote was 29 countries backing Maduro and three countries against. Guess who they were? The United States, Canada, and Panama. Now, this is so sad.
The American territory at the isthmus. Yeah.
This is so sad for Canada, for me. I live here.
Teddy Roosevelt, Panama.
Yeah, well, Panama. By the way, let me tell you, Panama is a country.
Yeah,
you know?
Let me remind our listeners. This is Dr. Maria Paz-Victor. And she's with the Louis Riel Bolivarian Circle. And incidentally, I hope you just – I love this age we're living in. All you have to do is Google, and you can see writing and speeches, et cetera, by Dr. Victor. Now, you must be disappointed. I know I am. That in our parliament, I think it was the New Democratic Party, introduced a motion which was practically unanimous supporting the – whoever it is in the street against President Maduro, am I right?
Do you know, I have
I couldn't
no,
believe my eyes, but it happened.
I just cannot believe that they could be so ignorant. So I can't say that it is ignorance. Mm-hmm. It must be that they want to, I don't know, get on the good side of the government. It's the only thing I can think of. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would support people on the streets with guns, with big rifles, mm-hmm. Throwing fire at buildings, at public buildings, private buildings. Do you know in Maracaibo only, they have cut down 500 trees for the only reason that the government had put them in the ground. I know of a case of a person in my own family who was being rushed to the hospital because, you know, she has cancer, and they wouldn't let her go by. There was another person in an ambulance who actually died because they wouldn't let the ambulance go by. These are ruthless people. They are saboteurs. They are paid protesters, and it is a shame that Canada would support this in another country, when we know for sure that they wouldn't allow the minimum of that here in this mm-hmm. country. You remember how peaceful demonstrators were kettled in the city of Toronto.
That's right. We have a new police word called kettling, and anybody can get caught in the kettle. If you're in mm-hmm. that square, you will be arrested no matter who you are.
And how many of them had a gun? Not one. Not mm-hmm. one of the almost 2,000 people who were kettled had anything remotely looking like an arm. And yet mm-hmm. they were kettled, and they invented a bogus law that mm-hmm. afterwards, oh, no, we were mistaken. There isn't a law. So I am really aghast.
A law of convenience.
Mm-hmm. This isn't a joke. I mean, 22 people have been killed in Venezuela. And for the NDP or anybody else to come out as supporting such a thing. And then the other thing that kills me is that they say, oh, both parties should come together, as if this is some sort of polarization. Mm-hmm. You have got millions of people in that country supporting their government. And mm-hmm. you have got a minuscule group of people who are paid saboteurs and paramilitary who are against it. And somehow, Maduro has to sit down and negotiate with them. But you know what Maduro has done? He's called for a peace conference. He called for this peace conference 3 days ago. And many of the opposition and many of the people in the private sector, especially the small and medium entrepreneurs, have come and said that they are coming to this peace conference. Of course, the leaders of these protests have said no. So who isn't wanting to dialogue? The president has said over and over again, we want peace. This is a peaceful country. You know, Venezuela is a very peaceful country. It's never attacked any other country. It's never gone to war with any of its neighbors. There are no disappeared people in Venezuela. There is no law that allows torture. There is no torture. For the first time, there's no, in 40 years at least, there's no secret police in Venezuela. Venezuela is very much a peaceful country, and yet the international media never reports the violation of human rights and the violence of the opposition. And I'm going to use a word that is overused by many as an adjective. I'm not using this, carelessly. Mm-hmm. I am telling you that this sector of the opposition of Venezuela is fascist.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders, both Capriles and Lopez, when they were young, were part of a falange. A falange is the old fascist organizations that took that were all over
Spain.
Well, they call themselves in Venezuela tradition, property, and faith, or something like this. And both Capriles and Lopez were part of it. And they were there in the founding of the very first all-white party of Venezuela, which was started by the man called Exclusa, which is their great friend. Exclusa is now in jail, thank goodness. So mm-hmm. I am telling you that these people are true fascists,
mm-hmm.
but they've got the ear of the United States of America. And
yeah.
shame on the government of the United States, and shame on Canada that doesn't realize. You know, Canada used to be a player in world.
Yes, used to be a moderate voice. Used to say, well,
yes.
Washington has a position, we have another one. But
yes, and
now
used to
it's
be
bark and bark.
Look at Lester Pearson. He created the United Nations practically. He got the Peace Prize for it. You used to have Canadians in all these international committees that tried to find, you know, negotiations between peoples
mm-hmm.
to try and get peaceful solutions. Who believes in Canada anymore? I mean,
yes.
in Latin America, I have been shocked. I've been shocked over and over, and hurt to hear the expressions of people of what they think of Canada. Because
sure, well, the scales have fallen from their
OAS,
eyes.
Yeah. Canada has voted with the United States. They call it the U.S.'s poodle.
Yes. Now, again, we're speaking to Dr. Maria Paez Victor, Louis Riel, Bolivarian Circle. And just lastly, President Maduro is going to Chile tomorrow for the inauguration, is he not? And that must be kind of a hopeful sign for the people of Venezuela and Chile that this street business is not really interfering with the functioning of the state.
Oh, no, it hasn't interfered at all. But I tell you what it has done. It has created a huge campaign internationally, the international media. Now, you probably know this because you are part of the wonderful, I would say, organization of community radios. To my mind...
Isn't it wonderful, community radio?
That's where freedom of speech is.
Mm-hmm.
But because nine corporations own the whole of the international media. And, of course, they want nothing to do with socialism, so they are against Venezuela. But in Venezuela, they go on about, that there's no freedom there. 96% of the media is in private hands. Of the TV and radio stations, only 4% belongs to the government. So
that's the one I'd listen to, personally.
Yes, well, I tell you, they have, because, of course, the owners of these are all people who are quite wealthy, and they send their children to Harvard, etc.
That's always a good sign, right? America likes somebody that they can say, he went to Harvard. It always means we own him.
Oh, yes. And if you can speak English, then that's fine. If you speak with an accent, then you're discounted. And so what they do, they have all this connection with the international media, with Reuters and United Press and all of this. And so what they have given is a very false impression of Venezuela. They want to create an idea that there's crisis in Venezuela. But they can't win because, one, they don't have popular support. These protests are not in the popular areas of the country because the people wouldn't stand for it. They don't have the backing of the institutions, not the legislature or the judicial or the military. The military is solidly on the side of the government. And most importantly, they don't have the support of the neighbors of Latin America, as the OAS OAS vote shows. I mean, there were right-wing countries voting there. Mexico, Peru,
yes.
Chile, they all voted for Venezuela against, any thought of intervention. So mm-hmm. they are
progress. They are apparently suffering from self-respect.
Absolutely. And they're going to have the solidarity of CELAC and UNASUR and MERCOSUR and ALBA, apart from the OAS. Their only card is to hope that Venezuela is invaded by the U.S. Marines. And if that happened, there would be regional warfare. I don't think it will happen because of that, because Venezuela is Venezuelan government is solidly backed by its people. It's solidly backed by the rule of law, all the institutions of the state. It's backed by the military. It's backed by its neighbors. I wish that Canada were not so isolated. I wish that this government in 9 years has destroyed so much of Canada's
reputation.
Reputation in the world. You know? And it wasn't like that before, which is... I feel very sorry for that.
You're absolutely right. By the way, there's the banner that flies there and spiritually over the whole of the continent is Bolivar.
Of course.
And
because
so
that was his dream.
If the U.S. has any thoughts about this, the name they're going to encounter is Bolivar.
Of course. That was his great dream. He said, the Latin American countries, their only hope is for them to be united. And that's what President Chavez did. He didn't just talk about brotherhood, oh, we're all brothers, whatnot. He created that infrastructure, those organizations in which they can be solidarity with each other's collective problems. That's what CELAC is, which is just poised to overrule or to take over from the OAS. UNASUR, which has said to the United States, your Monroe Doctrine is completely dead. We are going to defend our own region.
Yes.
The Banco del Sur, which has told the World Bank and the IMF, no, when our people need money, they're going to come to the Bank of the Sur. Petrosur and Petrocaribe, which has allowed petroleum to flow to these smaller countries that need so much help.
Yes.
All of these have really helped. And then, again, I come back to the community radios. Before there were 50 community radios in Venezuela in 1998, there are 500 now.
Ah.
500 community radios.
Well, that's the story we're looking for. That's a...
500... community radios and TV. So you'd go to an area, let's say the equivalent here of Jane and Finch. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So Jane and Finch would have its own radio station, its own TV station, and they'd be telling the stories and telling the news that are interest of the people there, not these these hybrid TVs that bring canned programs from the United States.
Barbie dolls plus recordings.
Exactly.
Recorded voice.
Recorded. No. There is a revolution going on in Venezuela. It is a Bolivarian revolution. It is a socialist revolution. It is also a spiritual revolution. It is a humanist revolution. It is based not so much on European ideas of socialism, but one that it comes from the very soul of Latin America, and it is eminently a democratic revolution. Somebody said that Chavez didn't really invent a new socialism. He invented a new democracy, because the democracy of Venezuela, according to the new constitution, is participatory. So this government of Maduro, it governs with communal councils, with communes, with endless numbers of committees that have quasi, legal status. The communes and the communal councils have constitutional status. So you are talking about a people that is no longer a mass. You can't say, oh, the mass of people, because the people of Venezuela are all organized in all these numbers of organizations. And I, who have lived through those 40 years before, can tell you that this is a new country, that it will never go back to what it was, because people have obtained consciousness.
Oh.
And this is really important, consciousness of why they were poor, why were they kept that way, and what are the things they have to do in the future for themselves and their children.
Well, that is a great summary of the situation. And Dr. Maria Paez Victor, we're very pleased that we could have you as our guest. We look forward to talking to you as this unfolds. Thank you very, very much for the picture you have painted for us.
It's been an honor to be on your station. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Dr. Maria Paez Victor. She's Professor Emeritus at York University. She's a member of the Louis Riel Bolivarian Circle. And terrific summary of matters.